opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And that's right. This is the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding, welcoming you into my weekly podcast where I talk to some of the most interesting people in the Ville. And this week is no exception. I have in the studio. I don't really have in the studio. I have recorded interviews with these people. I talked with Kevin Harnett of Wave 3 TV and all those cooking shows, the Secrets of Louisville Chefs that you're familiar with. And we had a great conversation down at the radio. Wow, what is it? It's the TV station down on Floyd Street. So really enjoyed getting to talk to Kevin. And also in the second part of the show, you're going to hear from the mother of one of the biggest movie stars ever and favorite Louisville daughter, Jennifer Lawrence. Karen Lawrence and Meredith Lawrence are hosting or presenting for on behalf of the Lawrence Foundation the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2 premiere in Louisville on Tuesday, November 17th. And I was very excited to go out and talk to them about that and learn a little bit more about Jennifer and all her history in Louisville. She, of course, is not going to be attending the premiere in Louisville, but there's a lot of goodies that you can win, and certainly the money is going to a good cause, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, so it's very exciting. Very exciting. All right, so I learned a little bit about Jennifer Lawrence this week, and also, before we get into the show, I'm going to tell you about our sponsor, Snelling Staffing. They have a weekly promotion on the show called the Job of the Week. And this week, here it is. The Snelling Staffing has immediate openings for the following direct hire, full-time positions with top dollar pay and great benefits. There's a lot of them. And so if you're looking for a job, this is a great time of year to be seeking work. And there's a lot of work available. If you're interested in any of these jobs, a plant manager, mechanical engineers, electrical design engineer, after sales specialist, a safety manager, an engineering assistant, inside and outside sales, project managers, plant managers, an account manager, and a master scheduler. If you're looking, or if you know someone who's looking for a new opportunity, please call Snelling Staffing at 502-814-9800. They also have a medical division over at Snelling, and they're hiring some direct hire full-time positions for LPNs, RNs, LMRs, and medical assistants. Stephanie is your contact over there at Snelling for medical positions at 502-814-9800. I might be running into some of those folks next week. As you probably heard more than you want, I'm having my ankle surgery on Monday the 16th, and looking forward to that. And certainly going to change my lifestyle. I'll be immobile for a little while. Thankfully, Paula has agreed. She says she's going to take good care of me while I'm down, and of course she also says she's going to be working hard to get me back up and at 'em and about town. So I'm looking forward to getting my ankle fixed. Dr. George Quill is my doctor. I've run into talked to a lot of people who are familiar with Dr. Quill. Says he's the best in town, and I've certainly presented him with quite a challenge in fixing my ankle. I'm hoping to at least be able to walk normally and maybe even get back to playing racquetball. You never know. But anyway, let's get on with the show. I had the opportunity. I was talking to my friend Cindy Tandy about the different possibilities for shows and a possible upcoming show that she's going to be doing called Louisville Uncovered. Stay tuned to the Rusty Satellite Show to hear more about that. But Cindy is involved in the Brain Injury Association, and they are having a big event coming up soon. And she suggested I talk to Kevin Harnett, who will be the MC and auctioneer. Most people, a lot of people don't know that Kevin's got this great auctioneering skill, and we talk about that and more in this interview. So stay tuned. After the break, you'll hear from me and Kevin Harnett.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And today I find myself at the Wave 3 Studios with Kevin Harnett. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Rick, thanks. Great to have you here. I'm glad to be on your show.
You know, you've done your job on the weather. It's all nice out. We don't even have to talk about the weather.
Yeah,
right?
Let's kick back and enjoy 70s in November. What? This is great.
But I really wanted to have you on and talk to you about some of the other projects you're involved in outside of being the Wave 3 weather guy, which is and primarily let's talk first about the Brain Ball that's coming up.
Okay.
I know you do a lot of these types of events throughout the year, but this one coming up is specifically pretty important and something you're looking forward to.
Yeah, you know, I've had a chance to be a part of the Brain Ball, which is affiliated with the Brain Injury Alliance of Kentuckiana, and it's something that is probably closer to most people than they realize. I mean, when you think of concussions, you think of sports players who have had, you know, head injuries. Some people have these head injuries that they don't even know about. I mean, we think of it as, well, you must be, you know, you think of a head injury or a brain injury and the worst comes to mind.
Right.
But the fact is, it can affect a lot of people in minor ways. And yet, over the course of time, it can be a major deal. We've seen that with friends of our own.
Right. Our mutual friend Cindy Tandy is dealing with a brain injury, and she's going about her life, doing her thing, but it does have an effect. So it's an important message.
From, you know, we mentioned the sporting events to car accidents to a number of folks who have been impacted by this, raising money for the cause to help make sure that there are funds available for whether that's therapy or counseling or some of the items that they need to just function day to day. It's important.
Okay. Well, it's an important thing. And you know, in your life, people know you from TV, but if you go to these events, I mean, I've been to a lot of charity events, and they all seem to follow a script. You know, there's the cocktails, there's dinner, there's a silent auction, and there's a major auction. And you do a lot of these events because you're an auctioneer, right?
Well, I'm not a professional auctioneer. I say I have the weirdest hobbies on the planet. You know, one of those happens to be auctioneering. The other one's flying a kite. So go figure, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that one.
But, you know,
trivia about Kevin Harnett. Flies kites. Okay.
True. You know, when I got involved, you know, I grew up just south of here, down in a small town, New Havens, just south of Bardstown in southern Nelson County, and I always watched the local news, and I thought, you know, those people have a pretty cool gig. They make a difference, mm-hmm. and it's the sole reason I wanted to be in TV. I had to figure out how I was going to be in TV, and weather was that avenue. I became fascinated by weather, became friends with John Belsky, bothered him when I was in the seventh grade, and stayed in touch with him ever since. So okay. He has been my mentor.
Well, great. Well, he was on the show a month or two ago, I think.
So. Yeah. Had a chance to work with him for 11 and a half years at his side. And I owe a great deal of gratitude to John. More importantly, in addition to realizing at a young age that people on TV do have the opportunity to make a difference, that's been instilled ever since I started here at Wave 18 years ago. And the fact is, we do have the opportunity to make a difference, and everybody does. And me being able to use this crazy talent of auctioneering that I learned as a kid is something that I do.
I've heard you do it, and I don't know if you'd be willing to do a sample here on the show. That would be really cool. But it's amazing because you see you talking one way, and then all of a sudden you flip a switch, and there's this other voice coming in.
Well, right. Yeah, I'd be happy to sell. Are you willing to bid on something here?
That's right. Let's bid. Bill's camera over there is pretty expensive. How about that?
So, you know, it really all comes down to this chant. And the whole thing about it is we want to make sure it's fast-paced and exciting, and the key is just having bidders. So really, it's ultimately the audience who decides how well something's going to go. So if we were to bid on this camera, let's start it. I mean, that's probably a $10,000 camera. Let's start it at $5,000 anywhere. Now, $5,000. Now, $6,000. Do I hear $6,000? Now, $6,500 anywhere. Now, would you bid on $6,500 anywhere? Would it go $6,500? So it's just kind of a fun thing to do. And when you're raising money for the number of charities that we have that really need our help, you walk away feeling like you did something good.
Right. Now, you told me you had had accumulated or compiled the number for a full year of how much you raised in these auctions.
You know, looking back at, I mean, for instance, there are seasons mm-hmm. where we have just probably 4 to maybe 5 in a week. There are a tremendous number of auctions. And over the course of the last 12 months, about $5 million raised. It is. It's a tremendous amount of money to a number of different organizations and charities. And, you know, I'm not alone. I think of the other auctioneers who I run across doing these. You know, there's Rick Wardlow, Elizabeth Monarch, Sean Logston, just to name a few. They contribute a tremendous amount of time and energy that they give to charities.
There you go. Well, I want to get into another subject that must be a hobby of yours or just a fun thing to do, and that's food. I know you host the food show because I've had Tim Laird on the show.
Sure.
And had several chefs on here. And
Secrets of
sort of a labor of love?
It is an awesome thing. Secrets of Louisville Chef's been going on for 13 years. Think about that. That was before, you know, the Emeril Lagasses, the Rachel Rays, the Bobby Flays. I mean, the concept of Louisville's food scene mm-hmm. was uncovered well over a decade ago by our show. And now look at where it's at. And now we are up there with 7 James Beard chefs in our town. I mean, most towns struggle to have one. It's amazing the culinary grip that Louisville has had. And we've been doing this show for the last 13 years. It's
I heard you have never paid for a meal in this town.
That is not true. In fact, I'm not sure I've ever gotten a free meal in this town now that I think about it. But even when we go do the shows, everybody's like, "How, man, you must get to eat everywhere." And I'm like, you know, even when I'm at the show, oftentimes it's at an odd time and the food sitting that you might see on TV, it comes out, but it's not even cooked sometimes. So I don't even eat that.
Well, that's funny. It's funny. Who are some, I mean, it is. Let's talk about food just for a second. You know, who are some of your? I know it's tough to say favorites, but sure. Who are the most? Some of the memorable chefs you've talked to over the years.
You know, there are. That is a tough one, and I get asked the question of what's your favorite restaurant quite often, and. You know, that just depends what kind of mood I'm in. You know, mm-hmm. are you ready for some great French food? We have it all. That's the thing. You know, favorite chefs, that's tough, too, because so many of these chefs are friends now. You know, over the course of the last decade, I've become friends with these folks. You know, Dean Corbett, I had a chance to work with him for a number of years on the show. When we think about Dean and what he's done, he and Sean Ward have paired up with Ward 426, two great people, two great chefs. Their restaurants are fantastic. You know, I could name a dozen chefs that I think are excellent and great friends of what they do. You know, Harold Baker has to be one of the most lively chefs we've had on.
He's
just over off of Spring Street at Gary's on Spring. And, you know, you think of Josh Moore and what he's doing with his gardens, and he brings really farm to table. I mean, it doesn't get any more real than that because he and his wife go out and garden every day. Dallas McGarity, and Josh is over at Volare, of course. Dallas McGarity down at Marketplace. Excellent.
All right. Well, you've covered the big ones.
There are many more. I mean, I could keep going. The Martinez brothers, what a story they have coming over from Cuba.
I've had Anthony Lamas on the show.
Then you get into the ones who are really known, because of the nationwide programs as well as our own. But, before Anthony Lamas and Edward Lee were ever anybody that popped up on national TV, they were on our show.
There you go. Well, it's fun. So, okay, let's go back to one more subject. Let's talk a little bit about weather.
Sure.
Because what's the question you get asked the most, by listeners about weather?
This time of year, it's what's the winter going to be like? Everybody wants to know that, and that has to be the hardest question to answer. I mean, we do good to get day 5, 6, and 7 right on an extended forecast. We're almost always right tomorrow, yeah. Right? I mean, that's pretty easy. The next 24 hours is usually pretty straightforward. By the time you look at a 7-day forecast, days 6 and 7 get a little questionable, much less a whole season. So we look at a tremendous amount of data.
So everywhere you go, people must walk up to you and ask some question about the weather, right?
Or food.
I just imagine that gets old. It's sunny, or it's going to rain on Tuesday.
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, a lot of people will come up and say that. They're like, I bet you hate this. And then they'll ask the question. And I'm like, no, are you kidding me? I love weather. And B, that tells me that you must be watching. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be more appreciative than knowing that somebody is out there trusting what I have to say when it's related to weather.
Let me ask that about weather. There's four stations. It's a competitive television market.
Sure.
Do you compare your forecast with your competitors and figure out who got it right and who got it wrong?
No. We keep up with our own, and we keep up with how right we are. And outside of that, I couldn't tell you what the other guys in town are saying unless somebody emails me saying such and such is saying this. Why are you saying something different? And I'm like, well, I don't know. That's my forecast. I can only tell you why we're saying what we're saying.
Okay, we'll wrap it up with this, and you probably haven't even looked. But, we're taping this show kind of early. It's November 5th, and it's going to air on November 12th. And there's a football game on the 14th. So am I going to be able to? What am I going to wear to that football game?
Well, I'll tell you that it's not going to be as warm as it is today.
Okay. That's pretty sad.
Yeah, right? It's almost a record high. It looks like the pattern flips. Now, in general, we'll cool back into the 60s for the end of this month. That's still not too bad. But the real big flip in the winter pattern probably will not occur until sometime in January, maybe mid-January.
Okay.
So we'll stay warm until then, but look for winter's end to be the worst.
Wow. I remember Belsky, I think, told me that he was predicting a lot of snow this winter.
Well, now Belsky's looking at the squirrels and the caterpillars and the woolly worms and all the folklore, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, well, we'll see how we match
fog.
Up.
It was fog. He said it was about fog.
And the fog, yeah. And
fog
the horse's mane. Well, I think we stay close to average on the snowfall. We went between 12.5 and 16.5 inches on snowfall. Temperatures just a few degrees below average for the total winter season.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Well, we're going to wrap it up here. Let's remind people once again about the Brain Ball. It is November 20th.
It's coming up November 20th. It's the 13th annual. If you're looking for tickets, they are still available. Again, just look for the Brain Injury Alliance of Kentuckiana. They're on Facebook. They're in the phone book. Those folks certainly be happy to give you information on how to get a ticket.
Right.
Rick, you've been around a long time. It's been my pleasure to know you over the course of the last decade.
Well, I'm glad. Maybe someday I will come in and try my hand at doing the weather.
Hey, anytime. Or auctioneering.
All right, and a very lively interview there with Kevin Harnett. Always fun to go down and walk through the Wave TV studios and see who's in. One of our first Rusty Satellite Show guests, Shannon Cogan, who was on show number 3. I got to say hello to her while there in the studios. And a very important message about the Brain Injury of Alliance of Kentucky event, which is the Brain Ball 2015 on November 20th. You can get on Facebook, in addition to all the resources just told you about with Kevin, to find out more about that. So as you know, if you tune in to the Rusty Satellite Show on a regular basis, this is the part of the show I talk about some of the things that are going on around town, some of the interesting news that maybe if you're not a loyal and frequent follower of local media that you don't know about. And, you know, the big story in the news this week, they made an announcement on the bridge tolls. And if, you know, if you're like me, I live here in Louisville, and you know, I always have this sort of ongoing banter with people that live in Indiana. You know, they got this, you know, their houses don't cost as much over there. The cost of living is supposedly lower. But you know, here comes the revenge, the tolls. And I think what the tolls on the bridges are basically going to do is going to make sure that people who don't have to go across the bridge won't. And understand the tolls. Understand that the a couple of the bridges are not going to cost anything to go over. You can go over the Second Street Bridge for free, and I believe that also applies I think it applies to the Sherman Minton too. But here's what we've all been waiting to see: a trip across the bridge. If you go at least 40 times a month, it's only going to cost you $1 each time. So there you go, $40 a month, and that's sort of the minimum. That's not for commercial vehicles. And if you don't regularly go across, you can pay anywhere from $2 to $4. While some trucks will pay $5 to $7, and heavier trucks will pay $10 to $12 each time they go across that bridge. The idea is they'll bring in $100 million in revenue. These things start in 2016, in January of 2016. So keep that in mind. And there's going to be some sort of there's not going to be toll booths or anything like that. You're going to have a transponder. They're going to be able to read your license plates, I guess. I don't know if anybody's thought of covering up their license plates as they go across. That maybe that'd be an idea. I don't know. Believe me, in the next 12 months or so, you're going to hear a bunch of ideas about how to beat the tolls. I'm sure of that. But you're going to have to get a transponder, and you're going to have to like open an account online to efficiently go back and forth across the bridge. And I guess if you just decide to do nothing and go across there, they'll get your license plate and send you a bill. And then if you don't pay that, they're going to withhold your registration. It's a logistical nightmare, necessary one, I guess. I still maintain the downtown bridge is unnecessary. I hate it that it's being finished while the East End Bridge, that the one that actually has some use that I think people really need. I mean, it'll really change things in the East End of Louisville when that bridge is built. Well, it's just coming out of the water right now. So I don't know when it's going to be finished, but the downtown bridge, there's an event where you can walk across it on, I believe it's December 5th, and you can go down there and walk across that thing. And then when it opens, sometime after it opens, they're going to close the other one down there because they need to do a lot of repairs. And so that's going to happen. But prepare yourself. It's a long time, but plenty of time to get prepared. The tolls are going to happen. And if you're like me and you hate paying something like a toll to go across a bridge, make your plans now to either lessen your number of trips back and forth, or, you know, I guess the motive for not going across the free bridge will be that the traffic will be bad on the free bridge, don't you think? That's probably what the selling point is. It's like, do I want to take 20 minutes to get across this free bridge, or can I zip right across for $4? You know, I don't know. But anyway, a lot of our city leaders think it's a great thing, and it's happening, and it's really transformed downtown. I've been driving downtown a lot. If you can figure out which ramp to get on, it is definitely different. It's new, and some of the advancements are great. On the surface streets downtown, there's still a lot of evidence of construction, but I guess all in all, not as bad as it could have been, we'll say. So that's the news on the bridges. They just made that announcement this week. So let's talk about something a little more fun. This is a big week in football. As University of Louisville followers know, this is the final home game, playing Virginia at Papa John's Stadium on Saturday. I hear it's going to be kind of cold, but the Cardinals have a chance to really make this a significantly good season. They are 5-4, or is it 6-4? They've got an opportunity to become bowl eligible, I think, this week. And, you know, the crowds have not been that great out there. The last game against Syracuse was a significant win. They scored 41 points, and it looked like the team is finally coming around. If they had been playing like this at the beginning of the year against the good teams like Auburn and what turned out to be a really good Houston team that they lost to, you know, the Cardinals could have been in nationally rated. And, you know, when you think back of the games that they were competitive in and lost, like Clemson and Florida State, you know, they've just missed having a really good season. And now that Kyle Boland's the quarterback, you know, this week, you know, we think he's going to be the guy to take them the rest of the way. We'll see. It's good news for the Cardinals as they head in if all goes well, they could be 7-4 going into the Kentucky game down there in Lexington at the end of the year. Speaking of Kentucky, now they have, as per usual, I guess, some people writing about how this is the script for Kentucky every year. They win a bunch of games early, get the fans all excited. Then they run into the LSUs and Georgias of the world or the Floridas of the world, and they start losing, and they can't beat those teams. And the early success this year, beating Missouri and South Carolina, has not translated. They have gone down hard against Tennessee and Mississippi State and Georgia and not been competitive. And, you know, and when they were 4-1, we all thought all was going to be great. They're talking about bowl games. Now they're 4-5. And they really need to beat Vanderbilt this week, because if they don't, they could beat Charlotte and come into the Louisville game needing a win to go 6-6. And I guess that's bowl eligible, but as we know, bowl eligible doesn't always mean you go to a bowl. But I think, you know, if Kentucky can get there, you know, I don't know. The Vanderbilt played well against Florida last week. They only lost 9-7. It's going to be tough down there in Nashville for Kentucky to come out of there with a win. I haven't checked the line, but I'm not sure they're – it's probably a toss-up game. So we'll see. Meanwhile, my Western Kentucky Hilltoppers continue to roll on. They're like 7-2 and or 7-1. They're really having a great year with Jeff Brohm, who was on the show as quarterback. He's really done well. So very happy to pull from my Hilltoppers. Talked about the Hilltoppers this week with John Asher. He was at the Breakfast of Champions event, the every other month event that I co-host. Our former Rusty Satellite guest, Skip Miller, was the speaker. He learned a lot about Louisville. Did you know that, for example, the number one international destination out of Louisville, not Paris, not London, Cancun. I think it's may have to do with price or something. But anyway, that's what's that's one of the things that Skip told us about. And he showed a bunch of statistics and charts about Louisville air travel. Very optimistic story, a big project going on at the airport to change the look of the terminal, spending some $10 million out there in the very near future. So anyway, a lot going on. Getting back to sports, though, you know, a lot of times we talk about former Rusty Satellite guests. You know, there's some 250 of them now. I read on Facebook, and that's not a really reliable source, but on Facebook, Lachlan McLean, the former sports talk show host on 84 WHAS, and his wife Carolyn famously moved to North Carolina some time ago, I guess early this year, and according to a Facebook post from Carolyn, they're moving back. So that's big news. Lachlan has started writing some sports columns on WLKY.com, I've noticed. And so it's happy news that they're coming back. This is just out. No details yet, but apparently something is happening with the McLeans to cause them to move back to Louisville, Kentucky. So we're glad to have them. Looking forward to that. Maybe we'll have to have them back on the show when they get here. We'll see. One other subject I wanted to talk about very briefly is the some stuff going on at the Metro Council, and I'm talking with Tom Owen. I'm hoping to have him on next week. The news out of the Metro Council is apparently I saw in the Courier Journal there is a story about a fight over leadership. I don't know you necessarily call it a fight. These are all colleagues, but on the Democratic side, David Tandy, who was on this show, is the president. And he is being challenged by David Yates, who will always be a hero to me because when I was a big blogger, back in 2010, he won the election of that seat over Doug Hawkins. And we all have fond memories of Doug being the most, well, he was the craziest Metro Council member. I think Dan Johnson holds that title now. But anyway, you know, it's going to be interesting to see that. And also in the Metro Council, surprisingly, for all you gossip people that like gossip, Elizabeth Hoffman, the woman who famously was caught with the city's chief financial officer in a compromising position outside a restaurant, a very weird story. She ended up losing her job, and they've replaced her. But now they've some of the council members have pitched in funds to hire her back in some unspecified position. And I don't know. That's just a thing that's going on. And Kelly Downard, who is expected to challenge for the presidency, I don't think the council is very rare and unusual to have a Republican in a competitive position for the Metro Council presidency, but he is apparently a candidate for that, along with Tandy and Yates. So we'll get all that sorted out. Maybe I'm anxious to talk to Tom Owen. I hope I can work that out to get him on the show and talk about some of those things on this show. The Metro Council. I used to love covering the Metro Council. There's all kinds of stuff going on there that is worth covering and really is undercovered, I would say, in local media. Just my opinion. So anyway, that's what's going on in the news in Louisville this week. I want to get on to my next guest. It's very exciting. You know, it's very exciting to be for Louisville to be the hometown of a movie star, and especially one like Jennifer Lawrence, whose fame just skyrocketed. You know, we all know. You know, you hear stories around town about people who knew Jennifer when she was in. Was growing up here. She went to Cameron Middle School, then went away to pursue her acting career before she went to high school. But anyway, her next Hunger Games movie, the final one, is coming out. And now I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know much about the Hunger Games. I watched one of the movies, but a lot of people do. And I was given some questions to ask Karen and Meredith, some spoiler questions, which I didn't really get good answers to. But this event on November 17th, the premiere of the movie, is going to be a great thing. They're having a costume contest. You can get dressed up and as one of the characters in the movie. And I would think Jennifer's character, Katniss, would be very popular on that, but there's a costume contest with prizes. There's plenty of memorabilia available, and it's going to be at Tinseltown. You're going to hear all about it from Jennifer's mother and sister-in-law, and I really enjoyed spending a little time with them out at the movie theater. So let's move on to that. Here's my interview with Karen and Meredith Lawrence.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
All right, and today we're at the movie theaters with the mother of Louisville's famous movie star, Karen Lawrence. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And I'm also joined by Meredith Lawrence, and you're the aunt.
I'm the sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law.
Yes.
Okay. And, that's fun. It must be fun having a movie star in the family. Is it fun?
There are perks. Yeah, there are a few. Yeah. It's fun.
I saw that you must have been involved. I saw they put a big poster of Jennifer on the wall down there at the Center for the Arts the other day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She got a banner. Jennifer's Louisville, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we worked with the company in getting, you know, all of that put together, but there was some help from, you know, some people in the city. And okay. I think it turned out really nice, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah.
So here's what we're here to talk about. On November the 17th, we're going to have a big premiere of the next movie, and I saw that there's a big costume contest. And Karen, I want to know what character you're going to dress up as.
Oh, I'm a fan of Effie Trinket myself.
Okay.
So, because I don't have to do much to look like that.
Oh, yeah. It was modeling after you, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. And what was the question I was supposed to ask about the movie? Because you've seen the movie, right?
Has everybody seen the movie? I have.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think the question is, does the revolution win out?
Oh, I can't tell you that. It's like asking the Titanic.
Yeah, we know what happened in that one. But, okay, so this big event, this is a big premiere of the next Jennifer Lawrence movie. Jennifer's not going to be here.
That's correct.
Right?
Unfortunately, she is traveling the world promoting the movie, but she, you know, sends her blessings and wishes that she could be here. But she, you know, we're just so excited to be able to do this. She's generous enough to cover most of the costs involved with this screening, okay. And so we're able to give all the money raised directly to Make-A-Wish. And they're such a great organization. They've been a pleasure to work with, and getting to know some of these Wish kids and families and stuff. It's a huge honor to be able, you know, to put this screening on for these kids, essentially, and we're going to have some of those kids in the audience, which will be fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people in the community have been gracious enough to purchase tickets, but they're going to give, you know, the tickets to Wish kids.
Right.
So I think that'll be a lot of fun. And
it should be great. And I understand tickets are $125 each. And where can we get them?
You can go to JenniferLawrenceFoundation.com, and on the home screen it'll say, you know, purchase tickets. Click on that link and it'll take you right to the ticket page. Tickets actually go, they're anywhere from $100 to $125, depending on the ticket package that you purchase. There's several, like I said, several different packages available. The top tier packages allow you to be entered in an online auction for 4 VIP tickets to the movie set of Passengers. So the winner of that will get to fly down to Atlanta. Hotel accommodations are taken care of, and meet Jennifer on set, kind of see a movie set, do some behind the scenes things. So,
and Chris Pratt.
Well, yes, and Chris Pratt.
That
and,
other guy.
And the
That's
rest
a big,
of it. Yeah, yeah. So Jennifer and Sony have been gracious enough to work with us in getting all that arranged. So Sony promises a VIP experience, and so.
Wow.
Sounds pretty cool, and the only way to you know, win that is to purchase tickets to this event. So.
Okay. Well, sounds great. And this isn't the first time you've raised money for the Lawrence through the Lawrence Foundation for a movie premiere here in Louisville. It's a great idea. How many times have we done that?
Oh, we've done it this will be the fourth for the Hunger Games series. Mm-hmm. But,
fifth screening?
We did it for
American
Silver
Hustle.
Lining. Hustle.
Yeah, American Hustle.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, great. Now, all right, well, let's ask more nosy questions about Jennifer. How often does she come around here? Does she come back?
Well, she's busy, but it's home, so she tries to get home as much as she can, if not to see us, to see her nephews.
Yeah.
That's the big draw.
And then if she can't get here, we do our best to get wherever she is. So
yeah, that's what I do.
We spend more time going to her than she's able to come here.
Of course. Yeah, it's always like a news event if she comes in. I remember she went to a U of L basketball game last year, and it was like all over the news, right?
Mm-hmm. To make her brothers and her dad happy, I think.
Yeah.
She enjoyed it. No, but...
Well, does she sneak in sometimes without the media knowing about it, or
as much as possible?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what's the next? No, I'm not going to ask that. But,
we don't know. That's the.
So this movie premiere on Tuesday. Tell me what you know. You've seen this, Karen.
I have.
So motivate me to come see this movie. Is it any good?
Oh, it's right. You know, it's the best of the four. In my opinion,
and it's the end of this series, and I think it's bittersweet.
It's
I think a lot of people are going to miss Katniss and all of, you know, the crew, but at the
so
same
there's
time,
no more Hunger Games after this?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
I even asked her that yesterday. Another way we can, just one more? Nope. Done.
Well, I'm sure it's very busy. How often, you're a mom, how often do you talk to her?
I'm a mom, so
yeah.
We talk pretty much a few times a week.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sometimes every day, depending on her schedule, I guess, or my schedule. Yeah. Sometimes I'm just way too busy.
And you all started this Jennifer Lawrence Foundation. Now, Meredith, that's your thing, right? That's what you do?
Yes, it is what I do.
And what else do you do besides movie premieres? I mean, the Lawrence Foundation, I'm sure you raise a lot of money.
Yeah, we raise money throughout the year, and then we're able to, through Jennifer's guidance, donate money, to various charities. The other, main thing that we do is really securing one-of-a-kind items or movie posters or things like that. We like to, be able to support various charities throughout the city. And so, getting an autographed poster or piece of movie memorabilia, something like that, just kind of connecting all those dots and keeping, Jennifer's, just the local, her local presence. And she has an amazing heart, and she really does care about this community, she's where she's from. And so, like Karen has said, we're kind of just... We're just here doing the work that she would do if she were able to be here. So
okay.
It's not always about the money raised. Sometimes it's about, just that the experience. Like, that's why we've really enjoyed these movie screenings, because it's just something totally different. We're able to give something to the community and also raise money at the same time. So
not all people are ever going to have that opportunity to go to Hollywood and go to a real screening and a real red carpet. So we try to do a miniature version of just giving them that experience.
Well, it's really cool to have, right here in Louisville. Now, I know a lot of people know the story about Jennifer's upbringing and experience growing up in Louisville. But tell me again, she, I know, went to middle school here, mm-hmm. right? As a mom, was it tough letting her go, like, instead of, going up here to Ballard High School, going somewhere else?
Good question. not really, because she never really fit in here so much.
Okay.
She was young and...
Now, where was the last school that she went to here?
Cameron Middle School.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we went to New York. So she was young, so it was a family. Her brothers were in college, and it was their encouragement, really. They told us this was her baseball diamond, and we needed to let her play ball.
Wow.
So that was what we did.
And she had, was
and
it easy?
And we sat in the bleachers.
There you go.
And we're still
just like
in
any
bleachers.
Other parent. They got to go to swim meets or baseball games or whatever. But, I guess her... The fact that she had a talent, did you see that? Was that obvious early on?
Not at all. No. Not really. Mm-hmm. It was just something that she really wanted to do. And she wanted to... I think the world was always her stage. But mm-hmm. we didn't know that. We had boys, and we didn't know that all girls weren't theatrical. So...
Well, certainly. Was there a point where she got, what was the break that made you know that she's gonna make it?
Her agents, I didn't even know that it was difficult to get an agent,
uh-huh.
and I didn't know anything about the business at all. I literally took her for a week in New York so I could brag about the fact that I let her do this. So she would enjoy getting out of high school here, and then but she got an agent right away, and they told me that they've never seen a talent like this before, and I of course thought they were lying, because
you don't really believe it until you see it, right?
No.
Well, very cool.
No.
So what's she working on now?
She is working on press at the moment, promoting the movie, and took a break from Passengers, which is filming with Chris Pratt and in Atlanta. So she'll finish press, and then she'll start promoting Joy, her next movie that comes out on Christmas Day.
Boy.
With David O. Russell and the group, De Niro and Cooper.
Wow. Well, I know we'll all be looking forward to that one. Any chance of premieres here in town for Joy?
We've talked about it. With a Christmas Day release, it's tricky, but we've pulled some things off before, so we'll see. We've got to kind of talk to her and also just kind of figure out what would make sense, and mm-hmm. so to be decided or determined, yeah. I guess.
Right.
Okay. And so before we wrap up here, I know there's other family members. Who all is on the support team with you guys?
Besides
you and Meredith?
Her brothers and dad and... I would say her brothers are always working behind the scenes, and
yeah.
particular Louisville Geek, which is Meredith's
yes.
husband, and
helps do all of the website stuff, just keeping everything in check. And
okay.
and but no, she ha- I mean, there's a lot of people behind the scenes and a lot of support, but volunteers and you know, the Community Foundation, which we still work with, just a lot of people, you know, wanting to help us. The Lawrence Foundation, just get her, her goodwill and her heart out there, and whether that be a financial donation or like we said, or like a you know,
stuffing bags.
Yeah,
for this
out.
Event specifically, that's when there's a
yeah.
lot of support
yeah.
there.
Okay.
So we're fortunate to have a lot of good volunteers.
it amazes me how generous people are, really, not just with. Their finances, but just their time mm-hmm. and their willingness to do anything they can to help
yeah.
make these events a success.
Well, it's very exciting. I think people like being, you know, getting close to Hollywood, I guess, even if it's a couple of steps removed, right? And that's the attraction. So, November 17th, here at Tinseltown.
That's right. And the movie starts at 7. Doors open at 6, so we encourage people to come a little early so they can not only show off their costumes.
So we can vote for their
That's
costumes.
Right, and then there'll be some voting. There's also there's a $10 concession voucher with every ticket purchase, so they can go, you know, get all their candy and popcorn and all
popcorn
that good stuff.
The show.
Get ready for the
okay.
movie. So, yeah, it'll be a great night. We're really excited and just, you know, looking forward to a great night.
Yeah, it's going to be... I look forward to it, and we'll see how it goes. November 17th, Tuesday, and Meredith and Karen, thank you all for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right, and I would really be looking forward to that event out of Tinseltown on November 17th if I weren't going to be laid up. I, for those of you that follow me and know this, I've been putting off having ankle surgery all year. I was told in the spring that I needed to have this done and get my ankle fixed, and I wanted to be laid up in the wintertime. So here we are, wintertime. The surgery is scheduled for Monday. If there's no show next week, you'll know that it all went wrong. No, it's fine. Dr. Quill, he's the best in town at his business, and I'm very much looking forward to getting my ankle fixed and being able to walk without limping, and maybe walk 18 holes of golf and perhaps even get back on the racquetball court. You never know. But anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm always looking for new ideas for podcasts. I just want to mention to you, if you got an idea, get in touch with me at rick@louisvilleky.com. I'd be glad to talk to you about that or any ideas you might have for my news website, louisvilleky.com. Urge you to go over there and see it. I want to thank a lot of people that helped me put this together. First of all, my photographer, Bill Breimer. He came along on both interviews this week with the Lawrences and with Kevin Harned. It was really, he's got some really great photos that you can see on Facebook and online. Jackie Bentley puts up a lot of the stories on LouisvilleKY.com. Jason Smith runs my website. And I don't want to forget Dan Vonderhyde, who is the producer of all the shows here on Louisville.am. I want to thank, finally, my sponsors, Passport Health Plans, who have been with me for a long, long time, and my good friends at Snelling Staffing, who just want to mention to Mary Kay over there that Paula needs a few days off next week because she's going to be playing a nurse to to me as I order her around and maybe get her to bring me drinks on the couch. So we'll see how that goes. But I have every expectation of continuing on next week and already lining up guests and looking forward to it. So that's going to do it for the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding signing off. Come back next week and hear from two more of the most interesting people in the building.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Time I